Welcome to the program. It's a joy to be with you. And today I have a great, great surprise for you. It's such an encouragement to my own heart to be able to speak to Camille Joly, who has come all the way from France, from Paris or just outside Paris. And it's a great privilege to have you, Camille.
Thank you, Richard. It's a joy to be here and to actually meet you.
And yes, I know, as we will discuss later on, that you wanted to meet me and you wanted to meet Larry Wessels when you came to Austin, Texas. So today, Camille, I want to go way back to where you were born, not in Paris, but in Brittany, and to discuss with you what it was like, because you have told me that you grew up in an atheistic family. So explain what it was like to be an atheist and to be in a family that did not believe in God.
Well, Richard, for me, it was normal. I had really no comparison. So I thought it was normal not to believe in God. And actually, when I was a really little girl, I did believe in God, just by the creation, because it was so beautiful. But then when I went to school, it was a public school, and I was taught evolution theory. And then I started to begin to think that religion and belief in God was just the remnant from the past, and it was soon to evolve into atheism for everybody.
So. Yes, it was. They believed in evolution too, and that everything had evolved, as you say, and that we had evolved, and now we've come to the stage where we don't need to think of God because we're so developed, isn't that the idea? So it is ludicrous, but that was the context where Camille grew up in Brittany. And then you had from an early age, you were quite interested in music, and you got interested in Gregorian chant, which is associated with the Catholic Church. And I remember from my monastic days, it was always Gregorian chant. But how did you get interested in Gregorian chant, and to what did that lead?
Gregorian chant, it was a class I signed up in. I was a student in the music conservatory, and we had to choose some optional classes. So I signed up for Gregorian chant because I did not know about it. I thought it was out of curiosity. But actually, I look back now and I see that God was using my interest in music to draw me to Him already. And in Gregorian chant, I discovered the Bible, actually, because most of the songs are with the lyrics from the Bible. It is in Latin, but I had some translations, so I was able to understand what I was singing. Well, to understand intellectually. I still thought I was not a believer at that time.
Yes, I remember from my days in Gregorian chant, while there was praises of God, you know, there was also praise of Mary and, you know, the, and association with the saints that is not really biblical. But I do remember that it was something quaint, not that you would like it, but it wasn't that you would dislike it. There was something melodious about it. And we had many years. I had 8 years of Gregorian chant from when I was in the Dominican monastery in Cork and in Tala, and 1 year in Rome itself. So from that, you got interested in the Catholic Church itself. Explain how that happened then.
Well, I was soon invited to join the Gregorian choir in Paris. And I found myself in church for the very first time. And I was surprised to enjoy it, to enjoy the quietness about it. And I would want to pray, but I really did not know how. And after a few years, God was working in my heart through the scriptures, and I wanted to join the Catholic Church because I thought it was the true Christianity. And so I started to walk toward baptism. But as an adult, it was quite difficult to get baptized in the Catholic Church. I would have to go through the Catholic catechism, and I did not really have a parish and a priest to lead me into that, at least a few years ago. So,
yes, and it is to this day in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, this book, which is the official teaching of the Catholic Church, they say that the sacraments are necessary for salvation. And it's amazing how a church could say this, but this is exact quotation from paragraph 1129. The Catholic Catechism is always quoted by the paragraph number to give you the exact reference. It says the following: the Church affirms that for believers the sacraments of the new covenant are necessary for salvation. That these physical rituals, or you know, called sacrament, do you have any problems with that, or what?
Well, since I grew up in a family that was not Catholic, I was not baptized as a baby. So what happened for me was, I did not have access to the communion. I could not partake of it with the others. And so I was always staying on the side and watching it, but feeling separated from access to God, because I thought it was through those sacraments.
Yeah, you believe what the Catholic Church, it was through those sacraments that you were to get God's grace.
I believed I was not part of the body of Christ, which is the true church.
Yeah, you thought as many people in France said, that the true church is the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And that you had to belong to that, and you had to be baptized, so you were preparing for baptism.
And I had not yet read in the scriptures that God is building his church and adding to it every day.
Yes, those who will believe.
By his grace.
And it's those who believe on Christ Jesus. He is the object of faith. There's no church that is the object of faith. Like Paul and Silas said to the jailkeeper, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. And it's
right.
Believing on the person of Christ. It's believing in the church, and believing in the church rituals doesn't save anybody.
No, because it is a work process.
Yes, it is a work process.
If anyone could be acceptable to God through this process, then the death of Jesus would not have been necessary. And that is staggering.
That is a real strong way to put it.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the man, you really expressed it there.
I was blind to that.
Yes, the death of Christ was not necessary if there were some rituals by which you
could. If there was some, any other way.
Any other way.
And, any other way.
It is the Catholic Church goes on to say that it's belief in her. It's belief in the Catholic Church that is what we ought to do. I'm reading now from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I'm reading from paragraph 1124. The Church's faith precedes the faith of the believer who is invited to adhere to it. The Church's faith goes before.
Yeah.
You must believe in the Church before you believe in God. And that's a decree of the Catholic Church. That's what she says. And she goes on to say, and it's extraordinary words, that no one can have God as Father who does not have the Church as Mother. So if you do not have the Church as your mother and believe in the Church as your mother, you cannot have God as Father. And
yes, I heard many of these teachings in the Catholic Church. They would always say, you need to have a faith grounded in the Church. And what I was thinking, but how about the Church grounded into faith?
And how is it? Because this is contradicting what the scriptures say.
And there is a true church which is described in the scriptures, but it is not a building, it is not an institution. It is the true body of Christ.
The true body is not a system, and a system that denies the very word of God.
Either we can believe in ourselves to be acceptable to God by our own doings, works, or attendance to church or anything. Either we can believe in Jesus and his righteousness and his sacrifice, his only perfect and true sacrifice. And this contrast, I could not reconcile.
Yes, well, praise God that you couldn't reconcile, because you were never actually baptized into the Catholic Church. So while you were working through the Catholic Church, and we'll give some more details as we go on, you were not actually a member of it because you hadn't been baptized and you couldn't take communion. I'd like just to say again another paragraph how they insist that the Catholic Church is what you believe in. Paragraph 168 of the Catechism says the following: it is the Church that believes first, and so bears, nourishes, and sustains my faith. The Church believes first. So Mother Church believes, and you believe in her, and that's how your faith is sustained. The scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Apostle Paul said, and is profitable for instruction, for doctrine, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is the word of God, and not believing in a church, that sustains our faith. And so it's really sad to see these diametrically opposed doctrine of the Catholic Church, and how many Catholics are in the Catholic Church and not knowing this teaching. And if you are viewing and you're Catholic, I ask you to bear with us, because it is painful when you read these things. I remember when I was Catholic, you may know I was a Catholic priest for 22 years, and I began to study the scripture, and then I began to study official Catholic doctrine. I was horrified.
Yes.
It used to be so painful in those days. I gave an example, was a horrific example, but I said that some of the reading of the Catholic Church was like somebody putting a razor blade through the pupil of your eye. It was so painful. But I said, this is painful, but let me proceed to see just what the scriptures say, because Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Christ said, scripture cannot be broken, it cannot be gainsaid. And here the Catholic Church is gainsaying or speaking against scripture, because faith is in the person of Christ Jesus and not in any system, believing in a system. Now I want to ask you, Camille, how it was that you actually, with this interest in Gregorian chant, went to Benin, which is a small nation. If you look at a map, it's to the left of the Nigeria in Africa. Benin, small really in comparison to Nigeria and some of the other countries there in Africa, but quite Roman Catholic in very many ways. Can you explain what it was like when you went to Benin to teach Gregorian chant?
Yes, Richard, I was in Benin to teach Gregorian chant for 6 months, 2012-2013. And I would teach to monasteries, communities and priests how to celebrate the Mass in Latin and how to sing Gregorian chant. And you say it is quite Catholic. Actually, it is a newly Catholic country. In the south, the dioceses are 120 years old, and in the north, it is only 70 years old. But I was quite intrigued to notice that every Mass was given to the souls of purgatory. Every time, every Mass would begin by stating a list of dead relatives that the Mass was given to, and the souls of purgatory. And I could hear that in Benin much more than in France, actually. So it was confusing for me. But I also noticed that it was linked to their own tradition to pray to the ancestors and the dead relatives. So I kind of had the feeling that the Roman system was using this doctrine of purgatory to attract the African cultures into their
they have done that in other nations too, this idea that there is a place that those who are not good enough to actually reach heaven when they die, that they have to suffer. No,
unfortunately, we do not find that in scriptures at all. Actually, the thief on the cross,
he went straight to heaven. This day thou shalt be with Jesus, me in paradise. Yes. The thief on the cross is a great example of that. But nonetheless, it's a very important doctrine, because most of the masses in the Catholic Church, for which people pay stipends, that they pay to have the Mass said, are for souls in purgatory.
And so it burdens the people of the Catholic Church with the salvation of others. And
and makes it believe that if they have so many masses said, like there was a famous man, Al Capone, in Chicago in the United States, and he did a lot of wicked things in the early days of United States. And when he died, he had millions of dollars, and he left quite a considerable portion of his money to the Catholic Church for masses to be said for him, so that one day he could go to heaven. And a ridiculous idea that in praying and offering a Mass, that somebody, and they have an idea that the Mass is a sacrifice of Christ. Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." There's no more sacrifices. Once and for all. But it's really sad, and it is quite horrendous. And so that was a thing that you noticed. Now
I noticed something else too.
Yes.
And it struck me. I could sadly witness that some people might have access to the sacrament of communion every day, and I thought it was the means through which the grace of God was given to the people. But some people, even if they take it every day, it obviously does not prevent them from sinning.
It doesn't sin. And I think a big example of that is the immorality that we hear in the Catholic priesthood. And this has become well known right across the world.
Unfortunately,
My own Ireland, the Murphy Report showed how horrendously evil are the acts of the Catholic priests.
Not only is forced celibacy a natural state for human beings to be in, but also the priesthood can be used by them to hide behind that and take on an appearance of godliness. But it's only an outward appearance, but we know that God looks at the heart and not at the appearance. So some people may hide behind that and try to redeem themselves by the ritualistic processes. I could see it did not seem to work, Richard.
Did you hear of any of that sexual immorality from the point of view of the priests while you were there in Benin?
Yes, unfortunately it was very well known and spoken of. And even I heard that they had difficulty to appoint bishops because too many priests were found not able to stay in this celibacy state that they had to stay in order to be Catholic.
And it was well known that they had a wife, or sometimes many wives, and many people. And it was I know of that for other African countries. But I didn't know it for Benin, but I presume
not only in Africa, but
I know, and it's worldwide. And sometimes it's hard to appoint a bishop because you've got to have a man who is somehow godly, at least in appearance.
Doesn't the scripture say that a bishop should be the man of one wife?
It does. Paul to Timothy says that, and able to manage his own household well. Otherwise, how could he manage the church God? And God's stipulation is a bishop or a pastor should be a man of one wife. And
actually, the scripture says too that it is doctrines of devils that forbid men
to marry,
men or women, but
I know
forbidding people to marry
is a doctrine of devils. Yeah, and it's hard to say it that way. And for you, the Catholic viewer, if this is hard, bear with us, because we have to see the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," just as you were set free. And it's a great joy to know that you were set free from the Catholic Church. You came back, I believe it was in 2013.
Yes, came, 1 year ago.
You came back, and you came back to where you were near Paris, and then you began to inquire to see just what Catholicism was. And here is this quite interesting because you viewed some of the videos of Larry Wessels, who I know well, and his videos are really used of the Lord to open people's eyes to Catholicism and many other things.
Yes,
and I think you looked at some of our own videos for Burning and Beacon.
That's right.
Was that true?
Yes. It is true. What happened was, when I came back, I was exhausted from too many work and disease, and I was so exhausted that I thought, in order for me to serve God properly, I really need His grace. So I really need to be baptized to be able to access His grace through the sacraments. So I really need to prepare myself for this baptism. But my catechism of the Catholic Church was not at hand. So I thought the best way must be to study the Bible. And actually, all of those questions that I had about the Catholic system kind of sprung up again. And it could be some small things or big things. For example, I knew from the scriptures that Jesus says, "Do not call anyone on earth father, because you have only one father. It is your Father that is in heaven."
Yes, yes.
And so I was uncomfortable having to call some men Father, meaning the Catholic priests. And they would always say, "Oh, it is a very, very small detail." And I thought, is it really our place to determine what is small and what is big? Is it really our place to say that? Because it does not seem so. And also, the images in the church in the building, in the Catholic building, would disturb me very much. And especially since the Bible says that we are not to make any graven image. We are not to bow down to a statue that cannot talk, that cannot see, that cannot save us. Because our God is alive, is living,
and
loves us through His Son. So I was disturbed by that. And also, Richard, I know you will understand that I was disturbed by the hierarchy of the whole system and the papacy itself.
Yeah,
Seeing the Pope, but comparing it to Jesus Christ, who came and washed His disciples' feet in obedience and humbleness, and I could not see that in the system that governs the Catholic Church.
I know, and so, and they they really exalt the they exalt the Pope.
Yes, they have many titles for him. Like,
yes,
he's supposed to be the head of the church, but Jesus is the head of the church.
Yes.
So,
yes. I know,
how do you reconcile that?
I know that there's only, and they call him also the Holy Father.
Oh.
There's only one Holy Father, and he's in
yes.
heaven. He doesn't sit in a...
His glory he will share to none other.
Yes, his glory he shares with none. I know, and again, this is difficult if you're Catholic listening to this, but this is clear biblical truth.
The fact that in order to be a part of the Catholic Church, I would have to believe in their dogmas, which means some facts that they assert to be true, and you have to believe those in order to be part of this church. And I had the most hard time believing that the Pope was infallible. And it was kind of the tipping point, I think, for me last year, when I came across this article saying that one previous Pope, would be John Paul II, actually acknowledged in some kind of way the evolution theory. And for me, it was shattering, because I could understand by now that the evolution theory had planted very bad seed in me and had prevented me from believing in the truth of the Bible, in God, in creation, in so many things, that having this article with the Pope, which is supposed to be infallible when it comes to faith and doctrine, acknowledge this evolution theory, it shattered the whole Catholic system before my eyes, because I thought, oh, the Pope is not infallible, because no man can be infallible, only God is infallible.
Yes, so they were teaching that it was true what we would call theism, that God somehow set in motion the human race, and that it evolved in that way. They were not saying it came from God, but God used evolution to.
What?
And we have an analysis of that on our web page, but it's
a compromise.
And it was. I remember the exact year when John Paul II had announced that, and
that's
it
right.
came as a shock to me
yes.
that anyone calling themselves Christian could say that. Now then, you were seeing the truth as you saw and listened to some of Larry Wessel's videos and maybe some of
mm-hmm.
the other interviews that I have done on our webpage and on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Then you began to see that it's the truth of the scripture, and that we're all
yes.
sinners before an all-holy God. When was it then that you really were convicted and really came to biblical faith?
It would be last year, around the month of August or September. This is when I thought, okay, I cannot be part of the Catholic Church. I'm not a Catholic, because I'm afraid to pray to Mary, because I don't believe the Pope is infallible, and because all I was sharing with you. And at that time, I thought, but wait, maybe I'm a Protestant or something. And this is where I found on the internet Larry Wessel's and Rob Zinn's videos, and your videos also, and it brought me much comfort, because I could see I was not alone with all those questions and struggles. And and actually, yes, it helped me see in every video a clear presentation of the true gospel of Jesus Christ that is found in the Bible and that speaks directly to our hearts and is able to save us.
Praise God. And I can
so
see
simple.
I can see how simple it is.
It
you
is
trust
simple.
On Christ alone,
yes.
you really have a joy unspeakable. and full of glory. I remember the day when in 1985, it was just coming up to September, where I trusted on Christ alone, and it was, things were so, so different, and you really know that you're accepted because of Christ alone, and the faith that he gives you, the faith, and he activates the faith through grace, and it's all of God. And
he's the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
In him is the love of God.
Yes. You're well able to explain this in English, which is a second language to you, and you're doing, I'm amazed to see how you can, you're doing so well. And there was an extraordinary thing then, and I would like you to explain it for a viewer, because it's really extraordinary that you had this desire in your heart then to actually come to the United States and come to Austin, Texas, and to meet Larry Wessels and to meet me. That was strange. Here are you near Paris and you just desired to come to the United States. And how did you manage to come? It's a long way from Paris to Austin, Texas.
Well, at that time last year, actually, it was a difficult time because I was angry towards the Roman Catholic system. And I would go around and beat up my Catholic friends with the gospel. It was terrible. I did not have the meek spirit that it takes to be loving enough. And I was just doing much damage. And God reminded me that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And but when I was in anger towards this system, I could not stay in France because I thought, oh, this country has been consecrated to Mary a few centuries ago. Now I felt I had to leave. And this is when I thought, well, maybe I can go to Texas and just say thank you to those ministries who have helped me, because it was great to just be able to look at your videos. And I was not hoping to be able to make one with you. This is just unreal, you know. But maybe I thought, oh, it might be good encouragement to their ministry, and just to let them know that their courage to bring out the truth is really helping souls go directly to Jesus. And I bought a ticket to come here by boat, and I could have flown, but it was a good time to study the Word of God and spend time in prayer. So I spent 3 weeks on the boat. This was last April.
Yes.
And I did come. And by the grace of God, I was able to meet with you. And I was guided to meet Larry Wessels as well.
Yes.
It was such a blessing for me.
Yes. Actually, when you landed, you landed in a port near Houston, Texas.
Yes, Houston.
And you had hoped then to be able to make your way from Houston to Austin. And how did that work out? Because it's a fair journey from Houston to Austin.
Well, actually, it was all God's blessings, and He provided His people along the way. And for example, the first day I was in Houston, I did not know anybody. I did not know where to go, what to do without a car. I thought I would find a bus to come to Austin and use a taxi or something. But actually, I met a pastor. I did not know he was a pastor, but he asked me about my story, because I had this huge backpack traveling, and he could see that I was not from here. And he just asked me, what's your story? And I told him about what had happened to me in my life, how the Lord himself had pulled me out of Roman Catholicism and brought me to the simplicity of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Praise God. That is wonderful.
Praise God indeed.
Praise God.
But at the end of the conversation, he told, I'm a pastor, and if you don't mind, you will speak to my church tonight. And, well, I was really very scared, but it was another opportunity to trust God with that. And he had me talk to his church and made a video. If I understand correctly, this video was then sent to Larry Wessels and yourself.
That is true. Yes. And it took an unexpected
turn.
We heard that you were on your way and that we were going to actually meet you at our church in Austin, mm-hmm. Texas. And it has been a great joy to meet you, and
Thank you, Richard.
A privilege in the Lord. And we're coming towards the end now, Camille, and I know that you have a great desire now to reach out to precious Catholic people who are beguiled by the system. So what would your message be to the Catholic viewer watching you now? What would you say to them, Camille?
Thank you, Richard. What I would say is that it is God that builds the church, and we are to put our trust in Him and not in man, not in any system. And actually, everything that we put our trust in, except for the Lord Jesus, is idolatry. And I was in that myself. And I know that the Catholic Church holds the Bible to be the Word of God. But if it is so, we are not supposed to withdraw anything from it. We are not supposed to add anything from it. And this is a major problem, because it has been done so. The Bible is the Word of God, and it is the truth. And it is able to make us unto salvation by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And in religion today, we have only two ways, actually. And there is a broad way. It is the way that man thinks is wise in his own eyes. It is depending on oneself to be acceptable to God by our own doings. And if it were possible, Jesus would not have had to humble himself even to death for us. It would not have been necessary. And it is the only way. He had to do that. Otherwise, his prayer to the Father, when he said, Father, if there is any other way, may this cup, the cup of God's wrath, pass from me. But there was no other way, because we know that God always answered Jesus' prayer, and he was in the Father and the Father in him. And now, if it was possible to access to God through the sacraments, then it would not be fair, because many of us do not have access to those sacraments. But we know that God is just and He is loving. So this is why it is by grace, meaning that we cannot earn it, and we can exhaust ourselves all our life to do penance for us or for other people. But we are not worthy to do it. Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God without blemish. This is why He could offer Himself as a sacrifice. Even if we offer ourselves for our own sins, we cannot pay the price for it, because the Bible teaches us that only one sin is enough to separate us from the fellowship with God, because He is holy. This is why.
Yes, and praise God.
Yes, praise God. And the Holy Spirit of God, which guides us into all truth, blows wherever it wants. It is not man that can say, okay, with the Spirit of God, we will make the grace of God contained into a sacrament, and otherwise it would be man controlling God. Mm-hmm. And this is not right. We are created beings. We are His creatures. And my message would be, please read the Bible and ask God directly to guide you into whole truth, because He's faithful and He will do what He promised. And we are able, thanks to His love, to go directly to Jesus Christ, to confess our sins, and to go to Him for rest. His burden is light. It is not heavy. If we carry our own sins, it is too heavy for us. We will drown and exhaust ourselves. But if we go to Jesus, He can unburden us and free us, set us free from all legalism, all law-keeping, all sin and all penalty and all condemnation and all the darkness that is prevalent in those particular days.
Amen, amen. As Scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish.
Believes in Him, that's right. It's so simple. Yes, it's so beautiful. And it is so fair, so that every man, this is the work of God, that He can draw every man to His Son, to Himself, through His Son, by faith. Yes. Just faith, and faith is resting on Him for salvation. He can save us, Him only.
Yes, well, Camille, you've really said the final word. That is, as it, resting on Him alone, and looking to Him alone, and crying out to Him for grace and faith. And He shows you, in the words of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that you are dead in trespasses and sins. And then you look to Him for the faith and the grace, and He is faithful. And yes, it is then a joy. And I thank God, I can see the joy in your eyes as you speak, Camille. It has been just a joy to be with you, and it's been a privilege to share with you, the viewer and those listening, and anyone listening. It's a joy, and we just give praise to God. So together, all praise, glory, worship, and honor be to the Lord God.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen, Richard.
Praise God.
Thank you so much. Because of Christ alone.